I don't have any detailed research to back this up, really, but through conversations with pastor friends of mine and from my own practice, the Gospel of Mark's version of Jesus' resurrection is probably the least preached. In many years as an Easter morning preacher, I don't often preach from Mark. The other resurrection stories, Matthew and Luke and John, have much more detail. They're fuller. They seem more complete. Matthew's Gospel, Mary and Magdalene and the other Mary found the tomb empty, and an angel who said Jesus wasn't there, that he'd risen. He's going ahead of them into Galilee. Then they ran right into Jesus, who said, "Don't be afraid. Just go and tell the others that I'll see them up in Galilee." And then there's more that comes in Matthew. In Luke, the women were at the tomb. They found it empty. They saw two angels and Jesus, who said Jesus had risen. Then they dashed back to find the others. When they shared the news, Peter took off, went to the tomb to see it for himself, and it was empty. And then there's more. There's more in Luke. More of the story, like the beautiful story of Jesus meeting disciples on the road to Emmaus, appearing to them. And in John, Pastor Anna read John this morning. John is such a beautiful, full account. There is so much there. But Mark's Gospel. Mark's is not only shorter and short on details, it also just ends. It feels incomplete. We'll hear that in a moment. If you have your Bibles open, you'll see that there are more verses at the end of Mark, in Mark 16. But it's widely believed that those 12 additional verses were added much later by others as a way to make Mark sound more complete, to have it match better with the other Gospels. So that those later additions, those later words are often put in italicized print that we'll see in our Bibles. So I hope that you'll read all four Gospels, that you'll read the whole story from all four points of view. But for now, let's listen to Mark. Mark 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mark just ends, kind of abruptly. And it has a bit of an incomplete feeling. But that incomplete ending actually adds a lot of beauty and power to this story. It's as if that period at the end of verse 8, "because they were afraid," period, it's as if it should really be more of a dot, dot, dot. Or that there should be a parenthetical note here saying, "to be continued," because there was so much more yet to come. We heard what the angel told the women. "Don't be alarmed. He is risen. He's not here. You can see he isn't here. So now go and tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you." That's what was still to come. That's the dot, 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 "to be continued." Jesus was going ahead of them into Galilee, and they'd see him just as he told them. Resurrected, unbelievably alive, totally, fully present to them. But in the moment, right at that cemetery, These three women did the very same things that you and I would more than likely do if faced with the same set of stunning circumstances. Finding the tomb empty rather than with Jesus' body. Finding an opening to the tomb rather than a stone fixed in place. Finding an angel of God rather than the presence of death. And understandably, they shook with fear, with bewilderment, as we read. Even though Jesus had told his followers three times along the way toward Jerusalem, three times, that he would be crucified, he would die, and he would rise again, none of them had absorbed it. We wouldn't have. It was too far outside the range of comprehension. In Jewish belief, any resurrection that would happen at the end of time, not in the middle of time. Not like it did with Jesus. And so these women, they were shaking with fear, totally bewildered, and they ran from the cemetery, not saying anything to anyone because they were afraid. Dot, dot, dot. Dot, 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 because very soon their fear would be replaced with joy. Rather than shaking with fear, they'd be shaking with joy. They'd find their world was completely changed by their rabbi, their teacher, this one who was who he said he was, the Son of God, one with God, the Savior. That period at the end of the story, at the end of verse 8, and my idea about it being more like a dot, 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 where the story goes from there is really to the whole rest of the New Testament and reaching all the way through the Old Testament. And it reaches through the weeks and months and years and decades and centuries from there to here, from then to now, from them to us, to each one of us. It's the continuing story of Jesus that we're gathered around today. The continuing story of Jesus by through which God's amazing grace, we are included. It's His continuing story that has an open invitation to every one of us to know Him in this personal, living way as well. Jesus who said, I am with you always, to the very end of time. Which leads to another unique thing about Mark's telling the story. In what we read, there's something that I hadn't really paid much attention to before until this year. In verse 7, the angel said, go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Well, Peter was a disciple. So why is his name sectioned out, the disciples and Peter? Well, you might remember that two nights before on Friday night, after Jesus was arrested and then taken and false charges were being leveled against him, condemning lies were being angled at him, and he was being spit at and abused in every kind of way, Peter was on the courtyard nearby. And while he was in the courtyard nearby, somebody came up to him and said, you were with that Jesus from Nazareth. And Peter said, no, I wasn't. I don't know the man. And two more times, people came up to him and said, you were with Jesus. I don't know the man. I've never laid eyes on him. And at the third time, you remember the story, the rooster crowed. It was dawn. And Peter remembered that Jesus had told him that he would do that very same thing. Peter's world must have collapsed under the crushing weight of guilt and shame. He couldn't go back and redo this, like none of us can go back and redo things. And we can imagine out of our own histories the darkness that must have fallen on Peter's soul, realizing what he had done. At that critical moment, being asked to stand up with his friend, he said, I've never laid eyes on him. And that could be why Peter's name is separated out. It could be that it was meant as an even you invitation. Not even you as in, well, I guess it will be all right. But even you as in, no matter what happened, Peter, No matter what, you are invited. You are included in this. And that's the beauty of the gospel. That even you, even me, even you, regardless of our history, regardless of our past, regardless of what we're, how our lives have gone, even we, you, me, are invited into this. So I need to tell you a story about a guy I'll call Gary. Gary was fast moving and fast talking, from his hair to his shoes, from his handshake to the temp was his voice. Gary was a guy on the move, very confident, very assertive. He drove very fine cars. He had a very fine home. He was high placed in the business world. And he played at very fine golf courses all over the country with high rolling customers. You kind of get the picture of Gary. Well, I'd run into Gary about 4 or 5 times a year, sometimes socially, sometimes on a random Sunday, and almost always at Christmas and then at Easter. And after worship, Gary would find me. He'd seek me out, and it was usually the same kind of thing. It was a strong handshake. He'd say, "Great job, Tim. Keep it up. See ya. I got to go." And off he'd go. One Easter morning, and I hadn't thought about this in years, after worship, he sought me out. We shook hands, and I was expecting his same ritual of, "Great job, Tim. Keep it up. Got to go." Instead, he kind of gestured with his head like, "Can we talk over here?" So Gary and I moved out of the flow of people to talk. And this is not word for word, but it was something very much like this. In a low voice, almost in a whisper, Gary said, "I wish I knew Jesus. I wish I knew the Jesus you were preaching about this morning. You know, Jesus as in more than just a story. Jesus as in more than just custom. But I don't know him in any way other than just as a story. And I wish I did." And the emotion in his voice and his eyes was something I hadn't seen before. He was always rolling so fast. And he said, "But Gary, you can. That's the whole point of it. You can. You really can know him. He didn't come to be stuck in a story or just to be stuck in tradition. He came to be in a living relationship with you." And Gary said, "Yeah, I guess. But he doesn't really fit in right now. You know what I mean?" And then there was a shift. And he said, "Great job today, Tim. Keep it up. I got to go." And off he went. And I don't know where he is in faith right now. I know he's still alive. I checked on Facebook, but we're out of touch with each other. But here's my point. That dot, 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 that continuing story, that even you, Gary's included in that. Gary and all the Gary types that we know, all the any types we know, anybody we know who doesn't know Jesus as other than a story or other than tradition, they're included in this too. We all are included in this. Where Jesus says, even you, I've come even for you. So let's replace Peter's name in verse 7 with a fill-in-the-blank. Where the angel says, "Go and tell the disciples and put your name there, my name there, any of our names there. Go and tell that Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him as he told you. That whatever's going on in your life, he's going ahead of you. He's with you. It's an open invitation for all of us to walk with him." So I hope you know that Jesus is present, and that through Jesus God can take the disparate and the dislocated and the sometimes broken apart, painful things in our lives and pull them into integrity and peace with forgiveness and hope and healing. I hope you know that. And I hope that you know Jesus as more than just a story or just a tradition to dip into now and then. But instead to know Him as the one who reconciles us to God and who reconciles us to each other and who reconciles us to our own past. Sometimes a very dark and broken past. And He says, even you, that continues to take my breath away for myself to think, even me, with all the junk in my life, even me. So the Apostle Paul wrote, God our Savior showed us His kindness and love. He saved us, not because of the good things we did, but because of His mercy, He washed away our sins and gave us new life through the Holy Spirit. Well, this morning we're invited to share in this meal, this sacred meal for followers of Jesus called Communion. The Lord's Supper, it's also called Eucharist. The Eucharist, the Greek word Eucharisteo, which means giving thanks. And that's what we do. We give thanks for His mercy and His grace, for His forgiveness. For saying, even you, even me, we're invited into this living, loving relationship of reconciliation and hope and transformation. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the power of our resurrected Lord who is present and with us even today, even with us. Let's pray. Lord, move us even just one step closer to You. Into the wonder and beauty and power of life with You. And for anyone here who feels at a distance, who may think that the gap is too wide, that the past is too dark, or that the present is too busy, Lord, in Your grace and mercy, move in new and powerful ways, in resurrecting ways. We ask all this in Your holy name, Jesus. Amen.